Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. You have a plan and a purpose for our life. Guide and direct us so that we may fulfill your will for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many people want more money? Probably about everybody. And why do you want that money? Is it to fulfill your own desires? Or is it to bring that money to serve the Lord our God? Probably both. That is how so many people are. And we know from a few dozen Bible verses that God sees our heart. So, how is your heart? And do you want some money? Yeah! Oh, I understand. Our heart and our mind is something we search for understanding to have. But how do we see our heart and our mind from God's perspective? And how do we look at money from God's perspective? So, it seems I do talk about money, and I talk about financial matters on this Christ Today radio broadcast from time to time. And my attention is also drawn to matters that are in our world that influence our spirit and our heart and our mind and our wallet as well, because I see all of these things as influencing us and how we live and how we show love, and it's just a part of life. And I think about Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, 8, 9, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. So I think of these verses quite a lot, and I try to put them into effect in my life. And I hope that you read the Bible too, because there's so many lessons to learn from it. Now, even with these days, we have things happening. There are not new things. Things that have happened before in the world, they continue to happen. And nowadays, don't you know, there's plenty of people that are very anxious. They're anxious for the times that are coming. And we do get to reflect on what is written in the Bible as a way to show us the truth and also to comfort us. That is what God's Word does. And we do thank God for how He loves us and how He comforts us. He comforts us in every way. He even tells us about things in life that are coming, both the good and the bad. Now, we know from Bible verses that there are things that are coming in the world, pretty serious things. There's always the disease, the famine, the war, and the earthquakes, and not in that order, but he says those are end time things before, at the end of the age. And we are seeing them happen in the world. We have seen a few days ago there was an earthquake in Utah, a place that you never would have expected. It reflects on the Bible scripture that there will be earthquakes in diverse places. It was a very weak earthquake, but it was, it did end up turning off the electricity to 50,000 people in Utah. So those things are happening. There were earthquakes in Puerto Rico lately. And there have been earthquakes all over the world, too many to count. in all of them, in normally expected places and in diverse places as well. So it is a sign of the end of the age. But we are not to be anxious, are we? Nope. Not about the earthquakes or the famine or pestilence, and not about the return of Jesus either. No, because there are things that are just plain natural to us, like death and life. It's natural. It's a part of the human experience. And besides, it is certain that when you are alive, you know that one day we will die. So, what do we want to do? Let's make a plan for it. Plans are good for all sorts of things. Now, we do plan for our death in a way. We do that practically. Sometimes we distribute the things we have. Sometimes we make a will. There are different plans we can make. Plans, we can have them for all sorts of situations in life, including business plans and plans with other people, short-term, long-term. And I think about planning with the preparedness aspect of things, too. These days, there's a lot of people who are buying a lot of things, and I find it's better to have a plan, always, so that we don't get too many things or we get what we want. So make a list of the things you want. Recognize that there's some things that have a short shelf life and some things that have a long shelf life. So with the preparedness, I always like to have long-lasting things, not canned foods, but grains. That's why I talk about grains a lot. And there's some things that we just have to be aware of in our preparedness planning also. I think one of the things that's often overlooked is batteries. Yes, we want batteries, and we have them. But we want to be so careful not to leave them in the flashlights or the radios or anything, because batteries have a way of leaking way too often. I don't know the answer to that except to take them out of the device. But plans are good. Plans are good. Remember to plan for your eternity. Well, yeah, with Jesus Christ in that heavenly place. So belong to Jesus. Make those plans for, of course, eternity and your earthly needs as well. Remember to have that compassion and interaction with the rest of the community. And, of course, that means your neighbors. Your neighbors, whether they're the near neighbors or the far neighbors. Or family that is in another state, or across the community you're in. Just remember those human relationships. Another thing to remember is to forgive other people, to become as well as you can become holy, and let your life reflect God's love. So now it's better if you read these things for yourself in the Bible, because that is our guideline for everything. The Bible is a good book to read, to memorize, and to know. We want our beliefs and our actions to line up with God's wisdom, and that's what the Bible talks about. Try to understand those themes and apply them. Apply them in your life for the long term and the short term. And about preparing, there is a time for everything, including a time to prepare. Both a time to prepare, which is to gather things together, and a time to give those things away. Yes, and how can you not think about Ecclesiastes 3 that says, for everything there is a season. So yes, indeed, wisdom is in the Bible. And I hope you are praying for God to guide you as you go through life and with even the little daily questions that we have. We have the examples in the Bible, and we try to align our thoughts with what is in the Bible. Today, especially, we can think that when there are troubles going on here and there, and there are so many people who have concerns or worry, this virus today is dominating the thought of so many people. People that are just like us, regular people. And also the thoughts of people in power and in influence. It seems like everyone is feeling a concern for this. The media talks about it. The politicians talk about it. It's just endlessly on the mind of just about everybody. And there are a few people that are calling out to God for the answer too. We do need to look to eternal wisdom, God's wisdom, and try to figure out what the answers are. If we look too much to the answers from politicians or from other people, well, we get a certain different information. There's lots going on today. There's people who come up with some pretty extreme solutions, like close the borders. Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. Talk about it. Talk about closing our national borders. Talk about closing the state borders or the county borders, even cities. Or quarantining an area. The Chinese did that a few months ago. They were shutting off the cities or the roads to the cities, putting logs in the roads or heavy equipment in the roads. There was a fear going on. And we don't want to act out of fear. That's something we don't want. Even though we know things can happen, they can happen here just like they have in other parts of the world. And people seem to act, in an extreme way when they feel like their family or their life is threatened. So try to keep things under control, and that's a part of what planning does. And that's a part of what preparedness helps you to be comfortable with what is coming, to know you can overcome the difficulties. Be prepared, I say. Sometimes it is hard to discern the truth when we are in the middle of anxiety. It becomes hard to see what our options are. It becomes hard to even think. So we have to always be careful that we do not act out of fear. And there's a lot of people. There are people who examine the statistics, and they tell us that over half the people who get this virus will recover. Oh, but then don't you hear everything? There was a Johns Hopkins professor who was saying, don't believe the numbers. He says that for every confirmed case, there are probably 25 or more people who have the virus. So we have to wonder, who are we to believe? Do we believe the authorities? And how much of an authority are they? Or do you believe the California governor? What's he saying? He's saying, don't expect the schools to open up anytime soon. In fact, don't expect the schools to open again for this school year. There's a lot of people who are worried. Oh, and there's the country of Austria. And they are banning all gatherings of more than 5 people. Now, there's just a lot of everything going on, and we are struggling to find information and who to believe. And there's even people who say this coronavirus is, for most people, is not a problem. They say it's about as serious as the mumps are. Yeah, it's a problem, but not like we're going to die. So really, we are in a information gathering mode, and we have to try to figure out what everything means. And all the while, do not act out of fear. We do want to be cautious, yes. Oh, and also to be cautious about granting emergency powers to our government. Because it seems like if we grant emergency powers to our government, they just never seem to go away. The people never get that authority back from the government. So we have to be cautious about that too. And one of the things that is a good lesson from this virus is we are learning how to deal with germs. And there's all sorts of germs. And we get to study how germs live on surfaces or how they transfer and how important it is to use good hygiene. So another lesson is that we ought to all have some emergency supplies, whatever they are. They can be those basic things of food, water, or a water filter, and warmth. And with warmth, you start with warm clothes. So yes, those are the basics of preparedness, and we can always learn that lesson. Do what you know for the very simple things and then expand on them. You get to figure out how much you ought to do and what your list is. And yeah, it's a little bit late for some people to figure all that out, but it's better late than never. And there's so much advice going on that we just have to try to figure out what to do. It's not easy. But I do think it's good to have communication with people. Now, maybe it can't be human to human like it used to. Maybe we'll be talking on the telephone or the internet. But it's always good to have a little more input than just your own. Consider talking with people and doing things as a community. See, if we ever have big trouble coming along, we will do better as a community group. It's a historical fact that single, self-sufficient persons or a family just don't fare so well. They have troubles and they don't have any help. So always have in the back of your thought that you want to try to be a community group. Whether that community group has things in common, whether it is where you're living or whether you're a church group or a professional group, it's just a little bit easier if you have common interests. I know one of the things that is going on today is there are people who are so sure that a firearm must be included in your plan. Well, you have to decide that one on your own. I just don't even know what to say about that. Except a word of caution. I will remind everyone that if you are thinking about firearms, remember that any bullet fired must be justified. And you have to realize that it's deadly force you're using. So just consider that. You know, another thing about what would happen in a declared emergency is there are some things which you just will not be able to buy. You might not even be able to possess things. Oh, and I do mean like firearms or bullets or maybe even slingshots and sticks and flammables like gasoline. Who knows? Because when there is a civil emergency that is declared, things change. I can't even say what they change to, but there are examples in societies all around the world of what happens when an emergency is declared. So we just kind of have to be aware that things can change, and yeah, we don't know to what. I know if you look back in history, our American history, we can go back to the American Civil War when President Lincoln closed down 300 newspapers and he arrested 14,000 Americans. See, so we have things in our own history that just wouldn't strike us as right. Now, newspapers are kind of equivalent to the internet. How would it be if our president declared an emergency and shut down the internet? Well, I sure don't know what can happen. I just know that there are things that we ought to be aware of for the just in case. We have so much liberty in our life these days, and that's wonderful. But I just mean to say, things can change. So have a little bit of preparedness in what you're thinking about. We even could have persecution in this country, even religious persecution, even of Christians. Things can change. Laws can change. Customs can change. And certainly, the present virus is causing a lot of people such concern. One of the things that's going on in those Los Angeles County jails is there are like 600 prisoners that are being released so that the virus does not spread in that jail. Things change. Overseas, some other nations are also temporarily releasing prisoners. Again, it's because of the virus. In Iran is releasing 80,000 prisoners temporarily. 80,000 prisoners! Wow, in Iran. So I just mean to say, we expect things to continue as they are, but it doesn't mean that they're going to stay the same. And that's a part of our preparedness plan also. History has shown us that we have surprises. We have risks that change. And we just don't know that things are going to continue as they are today. And to me, the lesson with that is stay aware. Stay very aware. There are people who, well, people think about everything, but always remember God in how you are evaluating your life. A few days ago, I listened to a video by Jonathan Kahn. That video was called Prophetic Announcement. And he says what we already know, that America has fallen away from God, and that now is the time to return to God. He said that if America continues on the present course in turning away from God, that we will seal our own judgment and our own fall. That America really needs to see a spiritual turnaround. That we need to have repentance and a revival. And that if we do not see this, then we will be undone. And then Jonathan Cahn said, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by not my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's what we want. We want our land healed. Let's see. Jonathan Cahn then spoke about having a gathering on the Washington, D.C. Capitol Mall in September 26th of 2020. And that would be for the purpose of spreading this message. Now, I know there are plenty of people who would say, it's too late, America. You have already gone down that road a bit too far. Too late. I don't know that it's ever too late, because even if we are judged as a nation, we don't have to be judged as severely as might happen. So I would say it's never too late, not for us personally and not for us as a nation, but we still can have some pretty serious consequences for what we have done personally and as a nation. So, like it says in the Bible, to turn from your wicked ways and turn to the God of the Bible. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. Yes, we do live in interesting times. There is no doubt about it. I think it is helpful if we try to look at the world around us from God's perspective. And then we can easily see that we are approaching the end of the age. And the end of the age is, the Bible describes certain events, certain trials or birth pangs, they're called. And that is another reason to prepare for the hard times that are coming. We are going to have the effects of the end of the age, but also from the plain and ordinary political and economic decisions that have been made and are now being made, and they will have consequences. Do we know what they all are? No, I don't think so, but we will always do better if we give it some thought and develop some plans. And then we can see what our future just might hold. Yeah, we can look in history. There's examples. There's plenty of examples about both the things that can happen in a harmful way and the things that we can have hope with in bringing God's righteousness into our society and into our own personal lives. So, yeah, we don't know, but we can make some pretty good guesses as far as I can see. And so that preparation that we do for the just in case, Well, it changes for each one of us according to what we understand. But I still suggest the basics. Water or a water filter, food, and warmth like clothing. So those are the basics, and everyone will have steps that they will want to take beyond that. There are so many variations in what people will do to be prepared. I don't even know what to tell you. Just make a list and feel free to change the list as you start to carry it out. You can make adjustments before, during, and after. But your list will help you so that you don't miss items and that you can think about it, reflect on it, and make changes as you go along. Also have that place to store your goods. It might be a closet. It might be under a bed. It might be in its own little room. And consider that you might have to deal with the hot summer weather or the cold winter weather. You might have to deal with moisture and how that would affect metal cans of food. Yeah, everyone is different, but you give it some thought because that is what it starts with. Thinking, having a plan, and then carrying it out. I know for me, I have settled on whole grains because whole grains last so long and don't lose their nutrition when they are whole. But then you need a manual wheat grinder also. And then the basics that I have are sugar, salt, and oil, and flavorings. Add to that as much as you want or take away. Dehydrated food is also good. But I have found that I don't do so good at rotating my cans. Some people really do. So that's why I don't have very many cans of food in my food preparations. But everyone has their own way, their own methods, and what works for some people, well, just think about what you would like to do. Another item of preparedness that so many people are concerned about is medicine and first aid. So yes, have those things too. Sometime I listened to this, the Patriot nurse, and she talks about all these things, about just in the one of the last ones has been about pandemics, whether they were a local pandemic, a national, or a worldwide pandemic. And that the idea was that we want to be prepared and not panic. We want to remember to have good food and good sleep. That is important to keeping your health healthy. Also, that hand washing was mentioned, that we will probably want to be washing our hands 5 or 10 times a day, especially after you use the bathroom or before you have anything to do with food. And for hand washing, there were 3 elements that included soap and water and a soft brush. One element is time, that you ought to scrub your hands for a full minute. 2 is thoroughness, that you get around every part of your fingers and your fingernails and the web part of your hand, like between each finger, and then all up to your wrist. And 3 is to have a soft scrub brush and to use it vigorously. So you might look at this hand washing thing, and at first you might want to use a clock, because 1 minute of scrubbing your hands seems to go by pretty slowly when you're waiting for that 1 minute to pass. But 1 minute can go by fast when you realize all the places that you have to pay attention to when you are scrubbing your, washing your hands. Okay, so a couple of other ideas were to bathe every day and to have several sets of sheets per person so that if necessary, your bed can be changed if needed. So let's see. Also to remember that you want to have regular bowel movements, and if you're going to be around undesirable germs, that you might want to irrigate your nasal cavity with a saline solution. Now, this will give that area a little bath, and the mild salt solution inhibits germ growth in your nose, nasal area. So what else? That you might want to take your shoes off before you go into your house. You might have slippers that you wear. And ladies, your purse is often put down on all sorts of places. So consider your purse to be a germ magnet. You might have a special place to put your purse. And then be aware of things that you touch a lot, like your cell phone or your keys or your computer. So once inside your home, you want to have be aware of the places that are frequently touched and wipe those off with a bleach solution. Places like your refrigerator door handle or doorknobs or a coffee pot or sink handles. So those were the basics of keeping your germs out of your life. And then there is a reminder that you want to remember to help others, including the elderly. And a part of helping others is to pray for others. Yes, indeed. Good words. You might think that you're going to get help from the government. And yes, the government will help you. But we can rely on ourselves and our groups, community groups like churches, to do a better job at helping people. They have compassion on a personal level, and that churches are also concerned with the eternal life of each person's soul. So a part of this is to remember to share the love of Jesus as you share love, grace, and mercy with other people. Consider how they can have blessings on their life and in their life, with their family and with others. This can all be a part of your prayer or a part of your words as you interact with people. It's all good. It's good to consider these positive and wonderful things. And how pleasant it is when you have these good and compassionate thoughts and emotions about other people. Yes. They're a part of who we all are. They're a part of who I am, too. I have good and wonderful thoughts. It's just that so often we don't think about the serious things in life. And I think they need more attention. That's why I tend to talk about the things that are hard to think about sometime. Or a financial crisis is one, for instance, or preparedness. It's because they don't get a lot of attention, and I think somebody has to say something about them. So I do. I talk about getting prepared for some kind of a trouble. And we do have choices. We have choices personally, and we have choices as a society. And I hope that you consider looking at things from God's point of view, and that will help you discern and to make decisions about the choices in your life. Good choices. It's good to have choices. All around us every day, there are people who are trying to convince you of one thing or another. A lot of it is to buy a product, but there's just a lot of other people who have concern about your quality of life, and they tell you about things. There are people who are concerned also in that same quality of life. They see trouble coming, and they want you to be prepared. Prepared financially and for us as a society. They want us to be prepared. So have a listen. Listen to people. There's a lot of people who talk about it. They have good ideas. And you get to decide how much time and attention you put into it. How much of your resources. And do remember the spiritual condition of each one of us and the people you run into. So these are all indicators of what is coming, and it's not quite like we know, but we get the ideas from looking at the society around us. We get an idea from reading the Bible, and I think it's pretty wise to prepare. Look at those spiritual truths around us. Look at the political posturing that is going on around us. Look at the statements that are currently being made by our leaders, locally, nationally, and internationally. There is a lot going on. And the way I see it, we seem to be moving towards, away from God and towards trouble. Now we get to decide what all the relevant facts are and how to deal with it. But the thing I keep saying is, look at them, get a view, and see what you see to do, how you would interact with life, knowing that there's trouble coming in our future. Right now, there is some evidence to say that we are not too far away from judgment. And so we want to have a right relation with Jesus Christ and be prepared for eternity in that heavenly place with Jesus. So after that preparation, the spiritual preparation, we all need to look at what's going on in this life and the consequences that we just might have from our choices and decisions that we make personally and that we have made as a country. And in the past, there have been plenty of examples about spiritual and economic and society-wide choices and their impact. We can look at the history of this nation, or we can look at the history of nations around the world, and we can see that, yeah, things happen when we make choices. Yep. The world has a structure in place, and it's a worldly structure. It seems to avoid the spiritual questions. But there is spiritual impact that goes on, and we want to be aware of choices and consequences. And a part of this is, will there be a worldwide crisis? Yeah, there could be. And what would happen if there was? Well, I think there is already a structure in place to deal with it. It's kind of a loose structure, but it certainly is in place all over the world. It's a structure that is political and economic. And if there were to be a crash, I think it would come right into play. Will there be a crash? Well, I was thinking about James Rickards the other day, and he's an author, and he said that in 2008 in the United States, we came within hours of a collapse. Now, I said a collapse. I didn't say bankruptcy. I said a collapse. And that means that they would have had to have started over with a new system, a whole new financial system. So is that what we have in store for us? It might be. And if there was a new bank, a new central bank, what would it be? I think it would be the World Bank of the United Nations. And by the way, that is the structure that has been in place all around the world. It's a loose structure right now, but it is capable of encompassing the whole world. And a part of that, if there is a currency failure, it would mean a new central bank, and certainly the World Bank would fulfill that function with a new currency or new electronic money or something. Not too many people talk about the details about what would happen, but if you think back, well, just think back to the United States. We have had new currency in the last 25 years. Anyway, a new-looking currency. And it didn't cause any panic, any distress. It just happened. But when it happened, this is the point. The point is that nobody knew that it was going to happen until it happened. There were a few people who talked a little, whispered a little bit about a new currency, but nobody knew it was coming in the United States. And all of a sudden, there it was. So I make that analogy to, fall. The fall of 2016. India got a new currency. And everyone in India had 50 days to exchange their old currency for the new currency, or in most cases, it was bank credits on an electronic card. So my point is that that happened. That happened in 2016. They had until the end of the year to exchange everything, their old currency, for the new currency, or that old currency would be worthless. And that's the way it is today. The old currency is worthless. Most people use the electronic credit cards. And the new currency, by the way, the largest bills were about $30. But they did not have enough of those large banknotes to distribute. So in practical terms, the largest used a banknote in use in India was equivalent to $15 U.S. So I just mean that things can change rapidly, and it's a part of what we ought to think about in our considerations. We could suddenly have a new system, and to think of a World Bank and a crash like the almost happened in 2008. It really is a possibility, and it's one that we don't want to think of. But it could happen. Could happen here in the United States. After all, it happened in India, a country with 1,300,000,000 people. 1.3 billion people. So could it happen in the United States? Yeah, I think it sure could. I don't mean to say it won't or it will, but it could. And that's a part of what we have in our preparedness thinking and why we don't want to have debt. So what about the value of the dollar? It's an uncertainty. There are more and more electronic credits being created in our Federal Reserve system. You look at what's going on with, they call it bank repos and money injection, where just this month, through the electronic credits, $1 trillion have been created this month. And apparently it's going to continue and expand. And we can have a discussion or an argument of what it means to create money and our credits money, or will they be loans or what. It is worth a discussion. But the point is the big point to me is that money is becoming more available. And that is expanding our money. The more money you have, the less is each one's value. So, we are diminishing the value of the United States dollar. That's not a good thing for a stability of our economy. America's businesses are having hard times. And now we're talking about businesses closing for a period of time due to the virus. And yes, big corporate businesses also. But there's talk about bailouts for the big business, but not so much talk about bailouts for mom and pop businesses. And those small businesses are by far most of the employers of people working in the United States. Well, by far, it's more than half the people are employed by small businesses. So, there's a question of the survival of small businesses that are being, the business is being hurt by the lack of people coming in into the stores because of this virus. So, dollars are not being spent in a way that they used to, and it's a question about what the impact will be on our economy. It's a pretty good guess that the economy will have a bump or a downward spiral. Who knows? And if it happens in America, we can be pretty sure that it will spread to the entire globe. That is how interrelated our businesses are. So, with more dollars being created and a lack of people going to businesses, it's just makes a tension right here on the businesses in America. We can only guess what it really means, but the possibilities are there for not just inflation, but hyperinflation. It's hard to consider what it really could mean and what we ought to do about it. What we ought to do is to have some savings and eliminate our debt. But there are things going on that could make it quite a difficult time in America and in the world. That's just the way things are going. Nobody knows really what will happen, but we can look at the possibilities and don't shut your eyes to the hard times that might be coming. So, it's wise to prepare. Yes, prepare spiritually, and yes, prepare physically and financially. See what your position is and how you view it. Try to understand. Try to look at things from a biblical wisdom, which is God's viewpoint. And do find comfort and peace and safety in our Lord. He is our comfort. For whatever is coming, seek God. You can listen to past broadcasts of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. That's lowercase and no spaces. Also, you can get my free preparedness brochure by sending a stamped, self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.